Welcome to WeAreTechnology.com's User-Friendly 2.0 with host Bill Sickens, Technology Architect.
And this is User-Friendly 2.0. Welcome to this week's show. Happy Veterans Day. We've got some special interviews for you for this week. And on behalf of everybody here at User-Friendly, to those who have served, thank you. We're going to have an interview with some different veterans resources. Chaz Wellington is going to be joining us from Las Vegas to talk about some of the different things on his foundation, some of the resources they offer, a grant that they got, and some of the ways to get in touch should somebody need help or resources. Also this week, we've got an interview with Jeremy and Gretchen on the latest Star Wars novel. At least I think it's the latest. It's a good one either way. So we're looking forward to that. Send us your comments. Send us your questions. We put our show together based on what you ask us to do. Coming up, we're going to have a Q&A today with some of those questions, and send them over to One User Friendly on Facebook, One User Friendly on Twitter. Coming up, we have the news.
Well, we better play a little bit of Star Wars music. United is to add Star Wars plane. Explain this.
Yeah, so what this is kind of an interesting little pop culture thing. And something United's doing to promote the next movie that's coming out here, I think primarily, is they're adding a Star Wars-themed plane. And the deal on this is that it is your standard United plane decorated for Star Wars. When you board and leave the plane, there's Star Wars music, the snacks are themed, that kind of thing. Something that's really going to be, I don't know, I almost get the feeling kitsch might be the right word here.
Yeah.
But for those that can't find it by the force, the tail number is N36272. Something you might want to check out or not. If anybody flies on this flight, let us know what you think of it.
Yeah, I would like to. So does it like do the light speed thing or whatever, you know?
I would be impressed. If it had a light drive, I'll be impressed.
Because I go from here to New York in like 1 second.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So if it has a light drive, then we've got something.
Yes.
That
until
would be
then,
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Apparently, cyber attacks are now happening every 39 seconds.
Yeah, this is a University of Maryland study that just came out that has been talking about how much businesses have been dealing with cyber attacks. And cyber attacks have been focusing a lot more on medium to large size businesses lately just because they kind of go where the money is, like everything else. Healthcare seems to be the primary thing that they're going after. That data can be worth a lot of money. And they're finding that it's actually gotten to a point now where there's a hack or an attempted hack every 39 seconds in the United States. Now, you do want the math on that. That's almost 2 a minute, just a little bit shy of that. And this is why cybersecurity is becoming such a big issue. We almost have one new big hack every week. Last week was Adobe. I'm sure there's another one coming up. And the bottom line of it is even if you're a small business, it's very important now to secure your data and do whatever you can. I have always been of the opinion that there's no way to make it hack-proof, but the bigger lock, so to speak, that you can put on the front door and make the bad guys go somewhere else, the better.
You know, and a lot of this is ransomware.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of it's ransomware. And the other thing is, if you do cybersecurity, you can almost write your own. You come into a company, say, I want this much money, and they'll give it to you. There's a tremendous lack these days of people who can do cybersecurity. So these companies that are hiring these people, these gunslingers to go in and prevent this kind of stuff, I mean, if this is what you do,
You're going to make
a fortune.
And there are some good cybersecurity experts out there, but there's another issue that's going along with that too. Like you say, it's understaffed. And the other side of it is most of us work 8 to 5 or something like that. The bad guys are going around the clock and are generally better funded. So definitely
a
huge issue.
A lot more money, yeah.
All right. Google is buying Fitbit for $2.1
billion. Yeah. So this day of them being concerned about social media and all of the different things that are going on that with that and wanting to split up the companies. Facebook has been looking at issues with their Instagram, that type of thing. We have Google going the other way. They've just announced that they've bought Fitbit for $2.1 billion. Fitbit is a company, for anyone that doesn't know, that manufactures smartwatches and other things that are basically focused on exercise. They track your walking, swimming, bicycling, all that kind of stuff. A lot of features that you can see elsewhere. And a lot of people are having a concern about this because Google has had some issues with how they handle this type of data. Google has said that they're not going to use this for anything other than what it was originally meant to be used. And we're going to explore this a little bit later in the show. But yes, Google is buying Fitbit.
Apparently, Alexa turns 5 this month.
Yes, it is Alexa's birthday. So everybody say happy birthday to her out there and you'll definitely get a positive response. I tried it today.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
What'd she say?
I will leave that up to everybody to find out, or I could just say, Alexa, happy birthday. And now while everybody's listening to her response, we'll talk about the fact that the AI has been around now for 5 years. So 5 years of this of this type of assistance, it's really been something that has been an absolutely incredible change, whether you like it or not. Everybody out there is using it, and some of the other companies that make some of the other AIs have been trying to trail along. But Alexa's definitely at the forefront and is the most widely used that's out there and seems to have the most amount of information. So whatever it is, happy birthday.
Cord cutting accelerates with AT&T losing another 136 million subscribers.
That's 136 million and one.
Yes.
They might be losing.
Gee, I know you've had a bad AT&T day too. And it's just, this is something, I think part of it is they raise their rates. And we're seeing a lot of consolidation in this area now. We talked last week about how PlayStation View is ending service in January. And, you know, I think that we're just seeing something here that is a natural progression. You raise your rates, there's other options out there, you're going to lose users. But there's been a lot of churn in the cable TV market the last few years, and this is just part of it. Most of the bigger companies have been losing subscribers and are seeing this minimize as other services come out and things go more on demand. I've been of the opinion that the idea of even having channel numbers will be gone in the next 5 to 10 years. I think it's just, again, the technology's changing. We're seeing stuff change. And yeah, if you push your rates up and don't offer better services, you are going to lose subscribers.
They have worse service.
Well,
this is my knock. I mean, I use AT&T and I have for 20 years for my phone service.
Yeah.
And the left hand, every customer service person you talk to has a different story. They don't all talk from the same script. And who can read the bill?
Yeah.
Who can read the bill anymore of anything? It's 12 pages long and I have no idea.
And it's not even just AT&T. I had that with Verizon. Trying to figure the phone bill out is amazingly difficult. But we'll have to look into that a little bit. Maybe we can get someone from AT&T or a rival company to talk about this a little bit.
I would love to talk to them.
I'm sure you would.
I just spent like 9 hours of my life over the last 2 weeks trying to straighten out my bill. So, hey, it'd be great. No offense, AT&T.
All right, what's next?
Lightsaber battle record officially broken, unofficially broken at Michigan hockey game.
Oh, so official versus unofficial. Yes, this is something to check out online. The pictures are cool. They've had the most number of people fighting with lightsabers, at least unofficially, during this hockey game. Really a cool setup.
And that's today's news. Next up, I would like to welcome Chaz Wellington to the show. Chaz, welcome.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Good, good. It's been a little while since you've been on. And I know you've got some special stuff for us today, so go ahead and tell us what you've got.
Well, first, I'd like to introduce the nonprofit that I'm on the board on. It's called Veterans Life Services with a Y, L-Y-F-E. We are a nonprofit that, you know, assists veterans, their spouses, and their children. You know, we have 5 pillars of service: family, wellness, education, community, and outreach. And, you know, we've been working very hard on our organization, and it's come a long way. We're even having our inaugural golf tournament in December at Legacy Golf Club in Henderson. And it's going to be a great event.
All right. Sounds good. And that's a fundraiser, right?
Yes, that is a fundraiser.
Cool, cool. And I heard a rumor that you guys got an award or a grant, I think it was.
Oh, yes. We have a lot of collaborative partners, one being the Elizabeth Dole Foundation, and they have what's called the Hidden Heroes Fund. And this year we were one of the recipients of 12 to receive a substantial amount to assist our PTSD 12-step program.
That is absolutely incredible. And let's talk about that a little bit. I know you mentioned some of the things that the foundation does, but let's dig in a little bit more to how you benefit veterans and how they get involved in that type of a thing. What are some of the services specifically? You gave us the list, so let's talk a little bit more in depth on them.
Yes, well, you know, that goes along with the collaborative partners. And I have to mention, you know, some of them that work very closely with us to make this happen. And that's UNLV Military and Veteran Services Program, Women Veterans of Nevada, Team Red, White, and Blue of Las Vegas, and of course, MGM Veterans Networking Group. But we provide life management skills, battle-borne empowerment circles, what I mentioned before, the PTSD 12-step program, intuitive life alignment coaching, and things like music and yoga therapy. there is so much that we do for our veterans and their families that the list just goes on and on.
And I know it's very much needed. I've heard some statistics out there that veteran suicide is at an all-time high. And some of those numbers are just scary. I don't know if you have some of them on you, but tell us a little bit about what you're battling with that.
Yes, Bill, the number that is that many are familiar with is the number 22. And, you know, that average is rising. That number represents the amount of veterans that commit suicide daily. Now, one is too many, and we strive in every direction to eliminate the possibility of a veteran having those thoughts at all. And, you know, many of our programs, particularly the 12-step PTSD program, works toward countering that. But there's a lot of other programs that we, you know, offer that help those veterans not be in a situation where they would have that. And, you know, like I said, we assist with job placement. We assist with clothing for the interviews. We assist with the life skills. So we just try to counter it at any time.
Absolutely. How does somebody find your foundation online?
Okay. They will go to Veterans Life with a Y, veteranslifeservices.org. And they can reach us at info@veteranlifeservices.org. Or they can call me directly at 702-972-1580.
All right, Chaz, thank you. And Chaz will be back with us after the break with a special interview. This is User Friendly 2.0. Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0. Joining us now is reporter Chaz Wellington with his special guest.
Yes. Hi, Bill. We're back. In fact, we have a very special guest, Mr. Stanley Mallon. He is a United States Army veteran, World War II, and he has a very interesting and great past with the casino industry. So I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Mallon and let him tell us a little bit about his military background.
Well, I went in the Army from college. I was in the ROTC at the University of Missouri, and I was went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma, as a first lieutenant in the field artillery, and was called into service, I think, either 42 or early 43, and eventually wound up in the Philippines, the South Pacific. I was there, I think, 33 months in the Army. Thank God, I got honorably discharged, and that's my Army career. I don't know what else. When you're in the Army, you think you'll never get out. but it did. And, thank God we won the war. I don't know what else to tell you.
Well, that's great. We have a lot in common because I also went to Fort Sill, Oklahoma for basic training. I was a 13 Bravo.
And, you were in field artillery?
Yes, sir.
Well, I was eventually ended up with 8-inch howitzers. Okay. Which is one of the biggest guns, yeah. And I was a forward observer. I went up in a Piper Cub as a forward observer sometimes, and that was interesting.
Yes.
And thank God I'm back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know what else. I entered as a second lieutenant. I came out a first lieutenant. I haven't kept up with it. I don't. I don't belong to any veterans associations or anything.
Okay.
Yeah. But I kind of cherish my time in the Army. It was rewarding. And I think many of these young kids should get in the Army. What is that?
That's great. Okay. Being the forward observer, I was also, you know, it's great. We have a lot in common. Uh-huh. So it's great. You know, so you want to tell us a little bit about the casino industry past? That's very interesting.
My partner and I were in Atlanta. We lived in Atlanta, Georgia, and we had some motels. We were invited to Las Vegas on a junket, and we came to the Flamingo, I think it was, and we decided there wasn't a decent hotel here. So we tried to build. We went around various people trying to raise equity money, and finally did. and we built Caesar's Palace. We had a Teamster loan. It was originally 600 rooms. Well, I think we had a loan of $10 million, but we raised some equity money. And that's how we came to Las Vegas.
And your involvement with Circus Circus as well?
Then after we called lightning in a bottle at Caesar's. It was an instant success. So I said, well, maybe we'll try it again. We tried Circus Circus, and that was not a big success at first. We were undercapitalized and struggling. And I think we did not have rooms. We just opened as a casino, and it was tough. We finally got 400 rooms, made it a little bit better. But we leased it after a while to Bill Bennett and Bill Pennington. And they had an option to buy it within 5 years, which they exercised. But we struggled with Circus Circus. I guess they might have been better operators, or it was better capitalized. We had a first mortgage, a second mortgage, bank loans, and we were inundated with debt. But it's been a big success since. I think it was sold for 800 and some million. To Phil Ruffin. Unfortunately, we didn't share in that. But it was a lot of fun. We had exciting times. Met a lot of nice people. Met some bad people.
Yeah.
And it's been an interesting time, interesting life.
What do you miss most about it?
About the gambling casinos, you mean? Well, it was exciting. It was... I used to get up every morning and not quite know what's going to happen. There's nothing more fascinating than money.
Right.
And it flows over in the casinos and the tables. And you see stories. You see people losing a lot of money, losing their business. Some people winning. But everybody is fascinated by money. It was an exciting time. And but I don't miss it. I'm relaxed now.
Yeah.
Take it easy.
Nice. Well, and you may not keep up with it at all, but what are your thoughts on the industry today?
Well, it's spread throughout the country. I don't know if it's good. It puts a lot of money in small hands, takes it away from people who shouldn't gamble. But it's all over. I think almost every state now has it. As I say, I don't think it's good for the country, but it is what it is. Yeah.
All right. Well, I really want to appreciate your time today.
This is User Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break.
Welcome back. This is User Friendly 2.0, and this is the section where we answer your questions. Send them to us 503-766-6264 or One User Friendly on Facebook and Twitter. Jeremy Gretchen, what's our first question for the day?
Do I have to pay to use Ring doorbell after I buy it?
So this is an interesting question. The caller actually was picking on Ring a little bit here, but this is true for most of these type of systems. What they do, and I'll answer specifically to Ring, is that when you buy the equipment, there are some functions that you can use without a subscription, which is how they make their follow-up money. So what I found on Ring specifically is you could monitor, you could go on and see a live video feed, but they don't allow you to record unless you buy the subscription. And then there's a couple of different levels of that. There's if you have just one camera, which is a minimal amount per year, and then a second level if you have more than one camera, which is $100 per year. So I think a lot of these companies actually make more money off of their resale of subscriptions and that type of things than they do on the original equipment. But the short answer is yes, it's workable, but it won't do everything unless you buy the subscription.
That's not a ding on Ring, but that's what
thank you for that, G. What's our next question?
Our next question. This comes from Lynn in Portland, Oregon. What's going on with 5G? Is it time to get a 5G phone?
I think the honest answer to that is not yet.
I have one. I have a 5G phone.
Well, you have an iPhone 11.
Yeah, I do. It says 5G. So what?
Well,
you know, that's like, yeah, I mean, it's, I don't see any difference. And it works just as badly as the 4G.
Well, here's the problem. And G, you bring this up, and it's actually a very good point. You don't really have a 5G phone. And I'm going to assume your carrier is AT&T, right?
I love them.
You have 5G Evolution. And that's not true 5G. And this is a problem that we've been running into because these companies are promoting something. What you actually have is 4G Advanced. That's the real name of the technology. AT&T has been marketing it differently. We've talked about this before. We have not seen a 5G true rollout yet. They're still having some problems. It is not a function that's even available on the iPhone yet for true 5G.
So they're lying to me.
I won't.
That's true. I mean, it's an out.
Yeah.
They know it's not 5G.
They know it's not 5G.
They're telling me it is.
If you look at your phone, it actually says 5GE, not 5G.
Let me see.
That is because it's Evolution, which is not true 5G. 5G. And one of the issues I have with this too is you expect to have certain things happen and they don't because you're not really on the technology that you think you are. And that's the situation from this. Is it time to buy a 5G phone? I don't think so yet, unless you're planning to keep the phone for more than a year. I don't think we're going to actually see the rollout of this until holiday season 2020 at the very earliest.
Okay, from Carrie in Kirkland, we have, are credit cards going away?
So I talked to Carrie about this because this seemed like a kind of a strange question, and then it wasn't. We chatted a little bit. She didn't want to come on air, but she did ask this question. She had actually just recently traveled to Asia. And in Asia, credit cards are falling out of popularity. In the United States, we still use cash, especially for most of our smaller transactions. So it actually makes it a very valid question. Something like 2.1 billion in transactions are now being handled overseas through social media. The stores don't want to take the credit cards because they save the 2% that the credit card companies charge you. And even here in the United States, we're starting to see it. I'll pick on one company, and that's Kroger. Kroger operates a number of different brands, Fred Meyer, Smith's. Smith's no longer takes Visa credit cards because of the fees. And one thing I've been noticing at the Fred Meyer stores is if you want cash back on your debit card, they charge you 50 cents for that now. So we are seeing a lot of things we're moving in different directions, and even bigger companies like Starbucks are encouraging using their gift card that they don't have to pay a fee on instead of credit cards for buying your coffee, and these little amounts do add up. Are credit cards going away? I don't think so, but we are definitely starting to see a change in the way people are paying for things.
Okay, can I delete my Fitbit data before Google gets it?
Yes. The short answer to that is absolutely sort of. So what's going on here? Sort of, yes.
Sort of.
What's going on here is Google has just announced that they've bought Fitbit. Now, Fitbit is a company that makes smartwatches specifically for exercise. They track your steps, that type of thing. And you have an account that has all this information in it. Now, Google has come under scrutiny the last couple of years for how they handle personal data like that. They've made assurances to everybody that they will not use the Fitbit data for any purpose other than what it originally was supposed to be. However, that's not being accepted by a lot of users. It is possible to delete the data and move on. They say it can take up to 90 days. You do it from your account settings option within the app. You can also do it from the desktop. It's definitely something to think about because the use of private data and the use of these type of different pieces of information can be problematic. One other thing to throw out there before we go off the segment today is myactivity.google.com. If you're a Google user, that's where you see what they're saving about you. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We will be right back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. Jeremy and Gretchen are with us with a book review from, Gretchen, one of your favorite authors.
Yep.
Timothy Zahn, right?
Correct.
What book are you reviewing today?
Okay, this one is Star Wars Thrawn Treason.
Now, is this a new release or something you just picked up?
No, this is the most recent version
of the trilogy.
Yeah.
So what did you think of it?
I liked it.
I liked it too. I thought it was great.
And the Thrawn character is something that they would say came from the older universe.
Yeah, he's
Legends.
An old Legends universe. Originally, he was like the second series of books after the first A New Hope,
after
Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. And then they released a series of Thrawn books.
Right.
And it was really cool.
And this guy has been pulled back into the more commonly seen stuff with the Rebels series. And he's been writing new books. And it's been fun. Really fun to see this character come back. I think the fans really love him.
Oh, they do.
They even made a Hasbro action figure for Admiral Thrawn.
No, that's really cool when you can see the toys out there and stuff. Now, I know he makes an appearance in one of the cartoon series, right?
Yeah, that's the one Rebels. I mentioned, Rebels.
Yeah, Rebels. Okay, yeah, that's the Rebels. I didn't hear you on that. And so it is a character that's actually been originally developed in the book
mm-hmm.
and has made its way into the...
Into the cartoon
into
series.
The cartoons itself. So,
yeah.
So why do you like this character over others?
Well, you know, he's so strategic. He's intelligent.
Yes.
He's calculating. And
it's like Vampire Sherlock Holmes.
Yes. That's what the way I describe him often. And one of the other things about this book is that you don't hear much about the people, his people,
right.
The Chiss. And so in this book, we get to learn more about the Chiss.
Right.
And we have another character that we saw in the first, do you remember the name of the first book?
It was just called Thrawn.
Oh, was it just Thrawn? Okay. Mm-hmm. Where we meet Eli?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we get to see Eli again. This was a character, he was an Imperial who just kind of got pulled into Thrawn's life. And we get to see him again in this book.
We get to find out what happened to him.
Yeah.
Now, I know you talk about his people. I know he's blue, but that's about all I know.
Well, everyone
thinks they're Pantorans, except that their eyes are red.
Yeah.
Okay. So are they good guys, bad guys?
We don't know.
They might be.
My theory is that they're not bad guys.
No. Well, considering they're fighting against the people who are attacking the Empire also.
The Grisk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, you know, and they might not be that bad.
Yeah. And you think that Thrawn is a bad guy. But I think his motives for joining the Empire are altruistic. You know what I mean?
Okay, he's working for the betterment of his people, and along the way, he's going to help out the Empire.
Yeah.
Well, because it definitely seemed like in the Rebels that he's not somebody I'd want to have coffee with.
I wouldn't mind having coffee with him, but I wouldn't want him to be on the other side.
No, I would definitely not want to play chess against him.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
Yeah,
so.
He's definitely somebody you'd want to recruit. If and we all know that Ezra disappeared with Admiral Thrawn at the end of the series.
Yes,
and we all wonder what
alert.
Happened to Ezra. Well, if I would like to see Ezra recruit Admiral Thrawn.
Now, that would be interesting.
You know, Ezra is able to get a lot of people to think of things in a new way. Well, I bet you Ezra could.
Probably.
And Admiral Thrawn would be the person like, what do they have, those football games where you pick out like the perfect sets of players.
Oh, fantasy football?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Fantasy players, yeah. Mm-hmm. Empire.
Thrawn would be on my list. Even though he's considered a bad guy, I would want him on my team.
So the author of the books, Timothy Zahn, is everything he's done Thrawn related, or has he done anything else?
He actually has done a couple of non-Thrawn books. I can't think of the titles at the moment.
Well, Scoundrels, I want to read. You read Scoundrels.
Oh, that's right. Scoundrels. He did that
one. Yeah, and that has Han Solo... Lando?
And Lando, Chewbacca.
Lando and Chewbacca.
And several other people that I came from a different book series.
Okay.
But it's like a heist novel. And it's done really, really well.
I haven't read it yet. Now that's on my next one. So.
So yeah, apparently. So this is book three of the new Thrawn trilogy. Or book two, sorry. And it takes place in the week of Rebels
mm-hmm.
where... Thrawn disappears in the series in the final season.
Yeah.
He is called back to Coruscant to get the TIE Defender program back online.
And this is how Governor Price screws things up, yeah. Right?
So this is that week. We find out what happens in that week, why he goes away and then comes back, and what happened. This is that book. This is exactly what happens in that week.
Okay, so the book's filling in something that we wouldn't have seen in the cartoon.
Yeah, so if you're a fan of Rebels, you should read this book. Not only is it well-written and it has cool, interesting characters, it's part of what happens for the Rebels series.
Yeah.
All right, so tell us a little bit more generically about the series. What attracted you to the character overall?
Well, I think I already explained
In the original...
Well, we talked about why you like this book.
Oh.
But it seems like you like the Thrawn character kind of generically.
Yeah, well, see, originally in the the Thrawn came out as the Empire had was going away after Return of the Jedi, and Thrawn was still out there with the remnants of the Imperial forces, and he was trying to lead them back and keep things going. And he was just this bad guy you couldn't figure out. He was calculating. He could figure out what you were going to do just by doing a little bit of research on you and your, you know, where you came from, what your people were like. He would know what your next move was. And it was just, you know, intense. And there were three books on that. And now he's come back out of not being he didn't actually exist. Now he exists again, and he's doing that same calculating,
meticulous thinking, strategic planning. He's intellectual.
Yes.
It makes him fascinating. Mm-hmm.
No, that sounds absolutely incredible. I'm going to have to pick up some of these books, I think, and read them myself.
I think you'll enjoy them.
Yeah. Especially, I was a fan of Rebels. I kind of missed it, you know, since it was finished.
I actually miss it too.
Yeah. And I know they finished the story on it, but it's always sad to see things like that go away. But what's kind of cool about the books is you actually can revisit some of these things and fill in some of the blanks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to read next?
I'm going to read the Scoundrels book.
Yep, I read the Scoundrels book, so we'll talk about that next time. But I'm hoping the new Thrawn book is going to come out sometime soon, and then we'll read that.
Right. The books are available at Amazon.com or any place that you buy books. Your local bookstore is a great place to look if you want to be able to pick it up and actually see it first. This is User-Friendly 2.0. We'll be back after the break. Welcome back. This is User-Friendly 2.0. Chaz, thank you so much for everything today.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate being on the show.
And we have a little bit of time here, so we haven't done this before. Tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into the show, and just kind of your background.
Well, my background, I'm a United States Army veteran. I served in the military for 8 years. I work with veterans in every direction and turn that I can. I've known you since 2006, and through our business ventures and otherwise, you invited me to have a part in the show, and which I greatly appreciate, and it's come to actually producing one of the shows.
Well, Chaz, to you and to all of our veterans out there, thank you so much for your service.
Thank you.
Gretchen, I hear you have an update for us on NaNoWriMo.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who are have been doing it for a couple of years, don't be surprised about the new website. There's been a lot of technical problems, and people have lost their writing buddies. Some people have lost their histories of their previous projects. Don't give up.
Okay, this sounds all very scary.
You can. It is scary. It's very frustrating. A couple of writers have just been completely demoralized by the whole situation. And all I can say is take a deep breath. Try working on the website, and then don't plan to write that day because your whole
mojo.
Mojo. Yeah. Your writing mojo will be totally off. And then just plan to write the next day. Don't give up, is what I'm saying.
Now, Gretchen, I finally
got my stuff to work.
Yeah, I was going to say, I assume from what you're saying here, you had something happen to you.
Yeah, I lost all my writing buddies, and I think everybody else has too.
My goodness. So what did you do to fix it? Or did you just have to start over?
I had to start over. And luckily, I knew where three of my writing buddies were, but they all had nicknames. So I couldn't go, hey, you know, Betty, you know, and put her last name in there. No, she had a different name. And so it's like, uh-oh. So I had to find out what their nicknames were before I could request for them.
Have you had any feedback from the NaNoWriMo people on what's going on here, or has it just been kind of radio silent?
I believe that some of the others who are really involved in the project, they've gotten support from them, but I didn't bother. I just kept trying on my own, just because I'm pig-headed.
Right. Understood. No, understood. I mean, I'm the same way with tech. Now, for anybody that didn't hear last week, give us a really brief explanation of what NaNoWriMo is.
NaNoWriMo is an event that lasts for a month, and it's to encourage people to write.
All right. Sounds great. Gretchen, thank you so much. If you missed last week's show, check out our podcast at theanswerportland.com. You can play it on demand. This is User Friendly 2.0, keeping you safe on the cutting edge.
User Friendly 2.0 is copyright 2019 User Friendly Media Group, Inc. The views and opinions expressed in this show are those of the host and not necessarily User Friendly Media Group, Inc. or this station. Music licensing by BMI. Hosting provided by WeAreTechnology.com. Podcast available at theanswerportland.com or userfriendlyshow.com.